Praise the Lord. This is Brother Julius Adeomi, and today I'm going to go through the book of Hebrews in this teaching, and I pray that the Lord will give you insight and understanding in some of this letter. I believe this is written by Apostle Paul, Epistle to the Hebrews, starting from chapter 1. This is a very long chapter, from chapter 1 to chapter 13. And it's broke, and it's in so many versions, but I will more or less just go through it, reading it, and I believe that the Lord will give you insight as we read through. The first chapter really talks about the revelation of our Lord Jesus Christ, because this was written to the Hebrews. I will read, and then I will stop and pause and give some exhortation or some exposition of the scriptures. But the book of Hebrews, I want you to realize, is a book for studying. So listen closely, and the Lord will bless your heart. The Epistle to the Hebrews, chapter 1. God, who at sundry times and in diverse manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, as in this last day spoken unto us by his Son. That was how it was introduced. As in this last day spoken unto us by his Son, whom he has appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds. So you can see that this book of Hebrews is a book of revealing the plan of God from the foundation of the world, that what human beings did not know, why did we come over here, who is God, is revealing that God Almighty, he has planned this before the foundation of the world, that he will bring forth a son that is going to rule the world. This is what he is saying, that in the time past, in the days of the elders, the fathers, mean Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, say he talk, and then all the Hebrews, the sons of Jacob, Moses, and all those people in the days of the Israelites, he said God was speaking to them by the prophets. But in these last days, he has spoken unto us by his Son, which means he sent his Son to speak to us, to the human race, and that was the Lord Jesus Christ. And he said, whom he has appointed heir of all things, I mean the Son of God, that is God manifested in the form of flesh, is the heir of all things, that is going to inherit all these physical universes, if we can call it physical universes, because in another place Apostle Paul said God has planned to make all things in Christ. Let me read that in the book of Ephesians, chapter 1, that God planned that in the dispensation of the fullness of time, he will bring all things into under Christ. Let me read up to you quickly in the book of Ephesians, chapter 1, where Apostle Paul said, verse 10, Ephesians chapter 1, verse 10. Let me start from verse 9. That having made known unto us the mystery of his will, that is the mystery of the will of God, according to his good pleasure, which he has purposed in himself. This is planned by God before he created all things. That in the dispensation of the fullness of times, that is at the right time, according to his plan, he might gather together all in one, gather together in one, all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him. That was Apostle Paul that wrote that. And that was the same thing he's referring to in the book of Hebrews, when he said in chapter 1 of Hebrews, verse 2, and said, God now has spoken unto us by his Son, whom he has appointed heir of all things. Heir is going to inherit all things in the universe. By whom also, that is by this Son of God, he made the worlds. You see, that means the Lord Jesus Christ made the worlds. Not just this world, the worlds, plural, which means that we can say that can be, we can infer that means there are other worlds other than this one on this physical heart that we are standing. There are other worlds. Of course, you can say, if there are no other worlds, where did Enoch went to physically? If there are no other worlds, where was Elijah gone to? Think about that. You see, where he went to heaven. That's why, because in those days, anybody that go out into the sky, they say heaven, he went to heaven. But see, the heaven they are talking about is above us in the physical universe, where there is moon, there are planets, and so on and so on, and all those stars. That's also heaven. But is that the physical universe that you can find God? Well, let's see what the Lord Jesus Christ said. When Jesus Christ was on earth, what did he say? God, the Lord Jesus Christ made a mention of a particular topic when he said, but no man has ascended to heaven. That's the Gospel of John. No man has ascended to heaven except he that descended. You say, what? What about Elijah the prophet? Where did he go? Because he was gone before the Lord Jesus Christ was on earth. What about Enoch that we said was gone to heaven? He was gone before the Lord Jesus Christ was on earth. But Jesus Christ said it in Gospel of John chapter 3 when he was talking to Nicodemus. Let me read that verse to you again. From verse 10 to 13, actually what I'm going through is verse 13. This is the Lord Jesus Christ talking to Nicodemus. Jesus answered and said unto him, art thou a master of Israel, and knowest not these things? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, we speak that we do know, and testify that we have seen, and ye receive not our witness. If I have told you earthly things, and ye believe not, how shall ye believe if I tell you of heavenly things? This is verse 13 I'm going. And no man has ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man, which is in heaven. Now, think about that. The Lord Jesus said, no man has ascended up to heaven, but he knew about Enoch, which reportedly was taken to heaven. But he wasn't talking about that. It's a different heaven. He knew about Elijah the prophet, where the Bible said a chariot of fire took him up, purportedly to heaven. But Jesus said, no man has ascended to heaven, but he that descended from heaven. So, which means there are several heavens, not this physical universe alone, which perhaps we should call worlds. Because that's what Apostle Paul was saying in the book of Hebrews, that there are worlds. Worlds means it's a physical place. It could be physically on this earth, maybe on the Jupiter, who knows, maybe there's something there. Maybe on the Mars, who knows, maybe there's something. The scientists are trying to look for that. But he said there are worlds, plural, that the Lord has made. That's why he said in verse 2, that in these last days, God has spoken unto us by his Son, whom he has appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds, plural. That is, this physical world we are in called earth, and maybe other worlds that we don't know, that are out there, that scientists have been looking through their telescope and say, wow, there's Mars, there's Jupiter, there's Saturn, and there are other galaxies, super clusters. And they say it's a world without end right out there. And there are billions of light years away. And Bible say the Lord has made the world. So think about that. Just put that on the back of your mind so that you know that we are serving a great God. He said there's no searching of him. No searching of him. You cannot search God out by your mental brain or by trying to look into the telescope. But Christ made us to see that there are worlds there, and he also said, no man has ascended up to heaven except he that descended from heaven, the Son of Man which is in heaven. Let's put that aside. Let's go to verse 3 again. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 3. Now he's talking about this Son of God, who being the brightness of his glory, the brightness of God's glory, and the express image of his person. And this Jesus Christ is the express image of God's personality. And upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down the right hand of the majesty on high. That is Christ, sat down on the right hand of majesty on high, because the Bible said he ascended up to heaven and seated up at the right hand of God. Verse 4 said, being made so much better than the angels, as he has by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. For unto which of the angels said he at any time? Now let me start some of us. For he said, the Lord is made much better than the angels, as he has by inheritance he obtained a more excellent name than they, because he is Son of God. You have to remember that not only Son of God, he's actually God manifested in the form of human flesh. That's why he called Son of God. And he came down from heaven. But Jesus said, "No man has ascended to heaven, but he that descended from heaven, the Son of Man, which is in heaven." This is how I interpret that. Look at the book of Ezekiel. When you look at the book of Ezekiel, Ezekiel said he saw the manifestation of God to him. And what did he see sitting on that throne when Ezekiel saw cherubims that are flashing up and down? And when they let down their wings, that is the cherubims in the book of Ezekiel, when they let down their wings, he saw a throne above their head. And on top of that throne, he said he saw somebody that was to look upon like the similitude of a Son of Man. What does a Son of Man mean to you? That means he has appearance like us. One head, two hands, no wings. Or I would have called him an angel or cherub. And he was standing like a human being. That's what he meant, like a Son of Man. But that was what he saw sitting on the throne. The only point he said was that from his loins, from the waist, downwards was like pillar of fire, but it was tracing a human being. And from his waist up was like a pillar of fire, well, like a fire, but tracing a human being. And that means God in that realm was manifesting as a pillar of fire, trace of a human being, and like a Son of Man. That's why Ezekiel said it was to look upon like a Son of Man sitting upon the throne. And that was the Lord Jesus Christ said, this is that Son. That is what he meant by, no man has ascended to heaven, but he that descended, the Son of Man, which is in heaven. If anybody will understand what Christ said in that Gospel of John chapter 3, you will notice that he was saying what Ezekiel saw as the Son of Man on those cherubs, that was him. That was him, the Lord Jesus Christ. That was him. And he came down. You see, when he came down, when nobody on the throne, oh yes, he's everywhere. You remember that? Is everywhere. So that is really what you have to understand when Apostle Paul was saying he had obtained a more excellent name than the angels, because he is Son of God and he is the express image of God, just put on the human flesh and came down among us. And he said, no man has ascended to heaven, but he that descended, even the Son of Man, which is in heaven. That is the Son of Man that Ezekiel saw on that throne. That is this same Son of Man that came down from heaven. That's really what Ezekiel was saying. That is what the Hebrew was telling us here when he said, and that was what the Lord Jesus was saying when he said, no man has ascended to heaven except he that descended, which is the Son of Man in heaven. And that is the Son of Man which is in heaven. Okay, let's go now, continue to the book of Hebrews chapter 1 that we are reading. Verse 4 said, for unto which of the angels said he at any time, thou art my Son, this day have I begotten thee. Now he's referring to what was recorded in the book of Psalms. In Psalm 2, verse 7. Say, thou art my Son, this day have I begotten thee. And people couldn't understand what that means. This was a prophecy, Holy Ghost speaking through the mouth of David. But he was talking about the Messiah. Thou art my Son, this day have I begotten thee. That's what the book of Hebrews was referring to, that it was actually not just talking about David, it was talking about the Son of God. When he said, Israel is my firstborn, it's not talking about Jacob, it's talking about the Son of God, the Son of Man, that is going to be the firstborn. Remember that? When the prophet was saying, Israel is my firstborn, which means God, we have four sons, no so. The word written by Israel is my first son. It's not talking about the nation Israel per se, or Jacob, the son of Isaac per se. It's talking about the sons of God at the end. The firstborn will be Israel, which is the seed of Abraham, which is Christ, is the firstborn. And that's what he meant by he is the firstborn of all things, the firstborn from all things. He is the first from the dead. So that means Israel is my firstborn. Then out of that will be the seed of God, all the sons of God at the end of time, we that will come up to become like Christ. Yeah, we are all sons of God also. But the firstborn, say Israel is my firstborn, is referring to the Christ. That will be the firstborn. And that is really mean that he himself put on the human flesh and became human being, because he's the firstborn. But it comes through the nation Israel. So that's the Israel is my firstborn. Every other nation that are redeemed are sons. I mean, people from that nation that are redeemed are sons of God also. But he said, Israel is my firstborn. And in verse 5, as we are reading Hebrews chapter 1, verse 5, he said, and again, I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son. Verse 6, and again, when he bringeth in the first begotten into the world, he said, and let all the angels of God worship him. Let all the angels of God worship him. Verse 7, and of the angels, he said, who maketh his angels spirits and his ministers a flame of fire. That is, the angels are spirits, and he said, they are like flames of fire when they manifest. But he said, unto the Son, in verse 8, he said, thy throne, O God, that is, he's calling the Son of this Son that is to be born, O God, which means it's God himself that is Son, when he came out of a human being. That's what this book is referring to, so that you can read between the lines and say, oh, what was he meaning by this? He was referring to all these things that were written in the book of Psalms. Let's read that Psalm 2, where all of these things were actually reported. But see, people were reading it all just like Sam, they just memorized it. They didn't even know that it was actually a revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ coming to the world. And here is where he was referring to all of these things in Psalm 2. Here is verse 7, where he first mentioned as, I will declare the decree. This Lord has said unto me, thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee. See, he's talking about the prophecy about the Messiah, that God was saying, thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee. And then when he gets to verse 8, he said, thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of thy kingdom. Thou hast loved righteousness and hated iniquity. Therefore, God, even thy God, has appointed thee, anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows. And thou, Lord, that was in Psalm 110. Let me read Psalm 110, because you see all of these declarations were scattered in so many places in the book of Psalms, where the Holy Ghost was prophesying through the mouth of King David everything that has to do with the Messiah. When I get a Bible verse, I read it again. It said, thou hast loved righteousness and hated iniquity. Therefore, God, even thy God, has anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows. And thou, Lord, in the beginning hast laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the works of thy hands. They shall perish, but thou remainest, and they all shall wax old as doth a garment, and as a vessel shall thou fold them up. And they shall be changed, but thou art the same, and thy years shall not fail. Now, that was quoted point blank from the book of Psalms. But he said all of those things were referring to Christ. That's what he's talking about here. Everything that was being said is referring to Christ, which means in talking, he's saying, thy throne, O God, that is Christ, is God Almighty. You see, that is really what he's referring to when he's saying, he has a better name than just angels. Angels are not called gods. See, but he's talking about the Son of God, that thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. You may say, well, he was just prophesying that the Messiah will be ruling from the earth forever and ever. Yes. But he called him God Almighty, because he's God manifested in the flesh. And he said, even God, even thy God. You see, that's why the Messiah even called the God in heaven his Father. And he said that when he talked to Mary Magdalene, when he after he resurrected, I go unto my Father and your Father, my God and your God. That he wanted us to start addressing God as our Father and our God, just like the Lord Jesus Christ was addressing the Father as my Father and my God. See, that is the position he's bringing us to. And we have to understand that we are becoming sons of God, like Lord Jesus Christ. When we come to the fullness of the stature of Christ, we'll be just like, and we call him, the Lord Jesus Christ, our God and our Father. That's why the Bible calls him Everlasting Father. See, there will not be two Everlasting Father, that they will one call Christ and they will one call God. No, you see, God is the one that is in Christ, that put on the human flesh. That's why he says his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the mighty God, the everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. You see, all the scriptures are tied together. This Hebrews chapter 1 is pointing to the fact that we should all know that God is one, and He manifested to human beings and also as Christ. That is really what He's saying, because there was a time I was preaching in one village very close to a city, the city of Lagos, and one of those Muslim rabbis or Muslim scholars stopped me on the street and said, "You guys are deceiving people." I said, "How do you say that?" He said, "Open your Bible and point to Isaiah chapter 2 and so," and told me to read it out. And I said, "Okay, I read it." So he said, "I say, I am the only God, and no, beside me there is no savior." He said, "Aha, God said there is no savior except Him. Why are you guys saying Jesus is the savior?" I said, "Well, thank you for asking that question. But who is Jesus? Let's read it. In the same book of Isaiah, let's look at it. Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. He said, "Read it." So I said, "Okay, listen. Here is Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. Unto us a child is born." A child is born. A human being, yeah. "Unto us a son is given." A son is given. Given by whom? By God, to us. A human being, yeah. "And the government shall be upon his shoulder," upon this shoulder of this son. "And his name shall be called," the name of this son shall be called "Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God." You see that son will be called the Mighty God? Yeah. It's just a nickname. No, it's the God Himself. He's telling us Himself is coming down as the Son of God. That's what He's telling us in the mystery there by the book of Isaiah the prophet. The same God that was talking through the mouth of Isaiah the prophet, He said this son will be called the Mighty God. Not over yet. He said He will be called the Everlasting Father. Everlasting Father? That's God, is the Everlasting Father. You see that? And He called Himself the Prince of Peace. Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. The same spirit that was talking through the mouth of Isaiah, the book of Isaiah, that said this son will be called the Prince of Peace, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, is the same spirit that was talking through the mouth of Isaiah the prophet and said, "Beside me there is no savior," which means it's the same person that is talking through the mouth of Isaiah. It's the one that is the Jehovah that is talking through the mouth of Isaiah the prophet. That man, that Muslim rabbi, when he heard that, he couldn't say anymore. He said, "Well, maybe it's just an exaggeration." I said, "Exaggeration? Isaiah was exaggerating, saying somebody will be called Everlasting Father. Isaiah was exaggerating, saying somebody will be called the Mighty God. And then Isaiah must have been exaggerating when he said, there's no other savior beside me." See, so, and that's another chapter of the book of Isaiah, chapter 43. So that's why I'm trying to make you to see this book of Hebrews, chapter 1. Was also referring to the fact that He's pointing now to us that the Lord Jesus Christ is God manifested in the flesh. That is what Hebrews chapter 1 is trying to establish for us, so that we know whom we are following. And let's continue with the book of Hebrews chapter 1. And He described the book of Psalms where it was, he quoted the book of Psalms where it was prophesied about the Messiah, that verse 10 says, "And thou, Lord," as the Messiah, "in the beginning hast laid the foundation of the earth." You remember? In verse 2, He already said it, that He made the walls through the Son of God. He made the walls, plural, through the Son of God that was to come, which is the Lord Jesus Christ. And He also said, He laid the foundation of the earth from the beginning. That's what He said in verse 10. Then. And He's talking that this is actually talking about the Messiah, not just not just talking about God the Father. He's talking about him. That's what He was referring to when He's referring to this, all these Bible verses in the book of Psalms, that He's talking about the Son of God that's to come. And He said, "Unto the Son," if I say it, say, "but unto the Son He said, thou thy throne, O God," to the Son of God, He called Him God, "is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of thy kingdom. Thou hast loved righteousness and hated iniquity. Therefore, God, even thy God." So now you know He's talking about somebody that is Son of God or not, because He even say that Son of God also as God. See, "as anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy feet." So the Son of God, Lord Jesus Christ, is to be called God. But when Jesus Christ came, He also called the Father God. He said, "Well, that means they are not the same." No, it's the same, because He's just trying to make us to see that it is the Father God, the Son of Man, that is sitting on that throne, that came down on earth, putting on the human flesh. Remember that. Verse 10, "And thou, Lord, in the beginning hast laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the works of thy hands. Verse 11 says, and they shall perish, the heavens and the earth, but thou remainest, and they all shall wax old as doth a garment, and as a vesture shall thou fold them up, and they shall be changed. But thou art the same. God is forever the same. Remember? God never changes. And you see also in this book of Hebrews, he said Jesus Christ is the same. Yesterday, today, and forever. See? So that's God that is the same. See, but thou art the same, and thy years shall not fail. Verse 13, that's why he rose up and went up to heaven by himself. So he's still alive forever and forevermore. He said, behold, I'm alive forevermore. In the book of Revelation, chapter 1, verse 18. Say, I'm he that has the keys of hell and of death. And he lives forever. So that's what the same thing is referring to here, that the years shall not fail. Verse 13 says, but to which of the angels said he at any time, sit on my right hand until I make thy enemies thy footstool? Are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation? So it's throwing the question that the angels are ministering spirits for us, for we Christians, for we that have accepted Christ. The angels are ministering for us, not just to us. They are ministering for us. They can go do what we want them to do for us. So they are ministering spirits. But to the Son of God, he said, the Son of God is God manifested in the flesh. That is what that chapter 1 of Hebrews actually was revealing. The book of Hebrews chapter 1 is actually presenting the Lord Jesus Christ as the Godhead manifested in the flesh. That's why I pointed to these few verses again. This is again yourself. Verse 2 of that Hebrews chapter 1 said, in these last days, God has spoken unto us by his Son, whom he has appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the world. So you know that the Lord Jesus Christ made the worlds. The whole worlds are not just one, many worlds. So that's the first point. And it's Christ that made it. And he said, he has appointed him to be the heir of all things, just like Ephesians chapter 1 that we read said the same thing, that in the fullness of the dispensation of time, God has planned this. In the fullness of time, God has actually planned that it's going to unite all things under Christ. All things, heaven and earth and under the earth, everything will be under Christ. And that was what the Lord God has been trying to give us some template of, that when he made a man called Joseph, the son of Jacob, in Egypt, where Pharaoh just turned everything over to Joseph and say, I in the throne, I will be greater than you, but you rule all Egypt. It was like a template. God was showing us a template, and Joseph saved the whole of the people around Egypt and all the people around neighbor in that generation when there was famine for 7 years, plenty for 7 years and famine for 7 years. God was just showing us a template of what he was going to do. Now he brought forth the Messiah, God manifested in the flesh. God himself put on human flesh. And God is going to unite all things in the whole universe. In heaven, visible universe and the invisible universe, heaven and earth, he's going to unite all things under Christ. That is his plan, just like he was making a template of it in the story of Joseph. People wonder, how can Pharaoh just do that? Because God was just showing a template of what God was going to do. So you saw that in the book of Hebrews, that God is uniting all things. And that is what Hebrews chapter 1 was saying, that he has appointed me to be heir of all things. Heir, as inheriting all things that God has created. Because actually it was God manifested in the flesh, and it was God that through Christ made all the worlds. And also, he also went further. You get to that in another area where he said, we are going to continue this in the next broadcast. I pray that the Lord will give you more understanding as we continue this. God bless you. Amen.